because we're going to talk about stay in the light. And it's all part of what we started. I didn't have a series title till about 2:30 this morning. It's Running the Gauntlet. Because when you're doing things for Christ, it's like you're running the gauntlet. Because as you keep going, there are going to be things picking at you, hitting at you, trying to stop you. And your job is to go through anyway. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 12, first three verses, Passion Translation. As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds, so we must let go of every wound that has pierced us. Who must let go of it? You mean God's not going to take it from you? You have to let go of every wound. Everything that happened to you, he said, this hurts, let it go. I never expected that they would do it. Let it go. Then, after you let it go, then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. We look away from the natural realm. We look away from the things that get in our way. We look away from those things that we don't like. We look away from those things that don't like us. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this. Because his heart was focused, say his heart was focused, on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. See, a lot of this bullying and class consciousness is because folks can't handle humiliation. They can't handle the agony, so they give in. When you know who you are in Christ, you don't care what anyone else says. When you know what you stand for, it doesn't matter if no one else agrees with it. Because if you don't stand for it, as that old saying goes, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I've watched over the last year or so too many believers falling for anything. Why? They didn't want to face the humiliation. They didn't want the agony of having a different thought. They didn't want the pressure of saying, I believe what God says. Verse 3, so consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who opposed their own souls, so that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures. I encourage you to either watch or listen to Run the Gauntlet parts 1 and 2, because I don't have time to go over things that, you know, I'd like to go over. But I will say this, God gave me a word and I thought he was going in a different direction. But he said to me, TikTok. And I said, oh man, I got to load the app and learn how to, you know. But that's not the TikTok he was talking about. He's talking about time moving. He said, and the one thing that I will share today, in that exhortation, I guess, that he gave me, he said, too many hands off the plow. He didn't say you have your hands on the plow and you're looking back. He said, too many hands off. That means we have stopped what we're supposed to be doing altogether. We've stopped. And we've turned and started looking back, looking away, looking at what's going on, not thinking, oh, my God will not fail, thinking, oh, my God, what the heck is going on around here? And it's so distracting, we're frozen in time, and we're not moving forward. It's no different. It's exactly the same as when the Apostle Paul was experiencing the thorn in his flesh. What did he do about it? He complained. According to him, he went to God and begged three times. Take this thing away from me. Meanwhile, he's not doing anything to further the cause of the gospel. Because his whole focus is on, I can't take this, I can't take this, I can't take this, I can't take this. Yes, you can, yes, you can, yes, you can, yes, you can. If you want to. And it's not that he didn't want to, he didn't think he could. How many of you have ever thought there's only so much I can take? I have, I'll be honest, I have. So I can't, you're like Popeye, it's all I can stands and I can't stands no more. But I didn't need spinach, I needed the word. Because the word did for me more than spinach can. Especially canned spinach with all that salt and stuff in it. But instead of complaining, God said to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient. In other words, yes, I know you're going through all of this stuff. My grace will allow you to go through it. And you will not find a verse that says, and God removed the thorn. So that means all of the stuff that was aggravating Paul, that caused Paul to take his hands off the plow and stop, remained. What changed? His attitude about it. How he felt about it. He stayed focused and realized, you know something? It doesn't matter what these people do. It doesn't matter how many splinters, how many thorns I have. God's grace allows me to go through this. And he never complained about anything again. And that's the place we need to get to, where we never complain about things. And most of you know how I feel about principles and fundamentals. I said, Lord, here he goes again, talking about fundamentals. But see, but you need to understand that. Fundamentals are the basis for everything. Everything has fundamentals. And if you master the fundamentals, you'll be successful. Even Michael Jordan said, talent and skill wins basketball games, but teamwork and fundamentals win championships. I think when you win 6 NBA rings, you can say that. And he said, the minute you get away from fundamentals, the bottom falls out. So as believers, we need to be fundamentally sound. And the mess that we see when we look around is because we've gotten away from a fundamental. We've gotten away from our prime directive, which is to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we're supposed to be doing. One of our fundamentals, one of our prime directives is to love one another the same way Christ loves us. And the reason we do that is that's how people will know we belong to Christ. There isn't anything you can say that also tells us something else. People are watching more than they're listening. Say, people are watching me more than they're listening to me. So what you do becomes much more important than what you say. Especially if what you say is not lining up with what you do. We've dropped the fundamental. Look at John 1, please. I know this is a passage has been preached and preached and preached. Beginning with verse 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Listen to this. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Think about what that just said. In the Word, in Christ, was life. And the life that was in Christ is what lights up man. His life is our light. And the light shineth in the darkness. So because we've had an encounter with Jesus, and he gave us life, his life became our light. Not just for people to see, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When we received the life from Christ, we got the light to follow the path. And all that's necessary is for us to stay in the light. Say, stay in the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, to tell everyone, look, the light's coming, the light's coming, the light's coming. That all men through him might be saved. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that light that he came to bear witness of, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He, being talked about Jesus, not John the Baptist, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Folks, that's what it's talking about in 2 Corinthians when it says, as many men as in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, old things have become new. When you had an encounter with Jesus, he gave us power to become just like him. That means he had to give us the same power he has. Because you can't be just like him and not have the same power. You can't be just like him and not be able to do the things that he does. If I want him to be just like me, then everything, I mean absolutely everything I do, someone else has to do. Everything I say, everything I think has to be their exact way, their exact thought. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. In him was life. Since Jesus is life and his life is the light of man or mankind, and this is what God told me early this morning, and since the light shineth in the darkness, then those who have been given the light should be shining in the darkness. Not complaining about the darkness. There's a dark world here. Let your light shine. Yes, the world is a dark place. Think about in the very, very, very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Why? Light was the solution for the darkness. But think about the in him was light, and that light was the life of men. God said, let there be light. After the light came, the life came. After the light came, then God made the animals. He made the seas. He made the people, the persons. But he needed the light to shine before the conversion could take place. Sorry, folks, for being off camera. I just like moving around. He made the light to shine so the conversion can take place. By the time I get it, the pandemic, everything will be over and we'll be back to life anyway. But it's hard to me unless they strap me in this place and I can minister like this. When the light comes, you So I'm sorry, I didn't even see the guys. I know they were gesturing me, get back on camera, get back on camera. Well, that's why I need notes. I lose my... Everyone who believed Jesus is the Son of God received the same power and became new creatures in Christ. But then Jesus told us something else that clearly defined the fundamental. Matthew 5. He said something to us. Beginning in verse 13, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall have lost its savor or its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot. Here we go. Ye are the light of the world. Well, now we've found that that light is the life. So if he says we are the light of the world, we're also the lifeblood of the world, which means the world is not going to survive without us, without us letting our light shine. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. We should be giving light that to all that come in our presence should see the light. Let, verse 16, fundamental, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He didn't say they'll hear about it. That they need to see your good works and then glorify your Father in heaven. The Message Bible says it a little differently. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. I'll say it the way it sounds. You'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out not your personal opinions and preferences, bringing out the God colors in this world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. We're not taking our hands off the plow. We're not going to turn off our light. We're going public with Jesus Christ as Lord of all. We're going public with that. It says it's public as a city set on a hill. And then he asks you a question. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? But notice something. It never talks about turning off your light. It talks about hiding it. You know why? Because once you've been lit, you can't turn it off. That's why in the Old Testament said it's like fire shut up in my bones. It's because we get excited about the air's fire, fire, shut up in my... It's not supposed to be in your bones. It's supposed to be shining. It can't benefit anybody if it's just shut up in your bones. It needs to be on light stand in public so everyone can see the Christ in you. So everyone can see the Christ in you. Jesus went on to say, now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. That's what he said, shine. And not with one of those three-way bulbs. You know, bulbs 30, 70, 100, or the ones that I like, 100, 200, 300. No, we don't look for the lowest setting and say, well, at least it's shining. My light shine, it's shining. No, it says so men may see your good works and then glorify your Father. There's a song. You ever hear that song, Say Yes, with a chorus? When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. Well, I changed the lyrics a little. When Jesus gives light, no one can take it away. When Jesus gives life, no one can take it away. So stop blaming the devil. Say, the devil took my light. He can't get close enough to your light to take it. But can I give you two reasons why I can let you know the devil can't do it? Luke 10:19. I always have to get that scripture in. Amplified Classic. Jesus said, the same Jesus that gave us light, and we believe, do we believe he gave us light? Amen. So we believe he gives us what he says he gives us? Is that not so? He said, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample, not step on, to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. So how could the devil can't come up to you? He can't even send a representative to turn off your light. In Matthew 5, we read this, it says, let your light so shine. When you look up the definition of let, it means to allow or permit. Is that right? Yeah. Micah told me I was right. Yes. So that means the only one that has any control over the light in you is you. And when Jesus put the light in us, the light has one thing it wants to do and one thing only, shine. Even when opposition comes, when stuff comes, and darkness is saying, I'm taking over, light is saying, I'm shining. And all you have to do is let it. So if the devil can't take away the light, why isn't the light shining? Because you've taken the blindfold and put it over your light so you can't see it. And if you can't see it, no one else can see it. And when you're in this state, you're relying on someone else to tell you what you should be doing, what you should be saying, what you should be feeling. Because you can't see the light. Because you've covered your eyes because of stuff. And you start looking at other things. Well, that sounds good. I need a little help because I can't really see how to go. And they will take you and lead you astray. And they do so with your permission because you made a choice not to see the light, not to let it shine. And if you don't see it, how can you stay in it? How can the light be a lamp unto your feet and light unto your path and you have it covered? You become on a path to destruction, corruption, and anything else. Any other option that comes along. But you, just like I took it and said, I'm covering. That's the choice people make. It's a, I'm going to cover my light. This is the light of mine. I ain't letting it shine. The devil can't do it. So you no longer have that excuse. And I so love this. Look at John 1:5 again, please. This makes me want to learn the original Greek and Aramaic language. And I will if God tells me to, but right now I want to. When I get this kind of stuff finding out. 1 John 1:5 says, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And we say, oh, that's nice. And we think, well, the darkness, if we understand, comprehend means to understand. So we read this, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't understand it. That's not what the verse is saying. When you get into the original Greek and Aramaic and read that verse based on the language in which it was written, this is what it says, according to Pastor Rick Renner. And the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness simply didn't have the ability to overcome it, take it down, subdue it, or dominate it. Darkness wants to overtake this room. It can't do it because we turned on the lights. Darkness can't say, look, light, you've had your shot. I'm coming in. No, we have to do something. We have to flip the switch to turn off the light to allow darkness to come in. Why do you think you can be in a room that's pitch black and hold up a tiny pin light and you'll see that light wherever it is in the room? Because darkness can't stop any degree of light. So you can't, it's not about, I don't have enough light. It's about, you're not doing anything with the light you have. And I'm not saying that to be mean. But your flesh, your mind, your intellect will say, turn the light off. But the light that Jesus put in you wants to keep on burning. And Jesus' instruction to us is to let it shine. I'm getting ready to close, but I want you to think about something. I said this earlier, when I walk in the light, I am illumined by the light. And so when people that are in darkness see me, they see me illumined, they think I'm the light. Well, to them, I am. My job is to let them know, no, I have the light, and you can have it too. How do you get it? This is how I receive the light. And it's the same way you receive the light. But if they don't see any light in me, they don't ask the question. First John 1, verses 5-7. And this is the message of promise, which we have heard from him, and now are reporting to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. No, not in any way. So if we say we're partakers together and enjoy fellowship with him When we live and move and are walking about in darkness, we are both speaking falsely and do not live and practice the truth which the gospel presents. This is a nice way of saying you're lying. So, verse 7. But if we really are living and walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt, keeps us cleansed from sin in all of its forms and manifestations. So we have to stay focused on the light that's within us so that we stay illumined. And once we get illumined and stay illumined, we will always be walking in the light. Now, I'll tell you something real quick before I close. When I started looking, because I got very interested about this word light, and I started looking in every source I could find about its definitions and about synonyms. And I went down a tree, so to speak, and another word that you could that the light is used for is revelation. When you're walking in the light, you're walking in the revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're walking in the revelation. That's another reason why Jesus said, let your light shine. Let the revelation that you know who Christ is shine. Let everybody know. So they can walk in the revelation. Who do men say that I am? Was the question Jesus asked. Some say you're Christ. Some say you're Elijah, one of the prophets. He's, No. Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. On that light, on that revelation, Jesus said, I'm building my church. On the revelation that he is the Christ. Arise, shine, for the revelation has come. I'm going to close with a quote from very famous person, Mr. Miyagi. In the midst of the battle, and it really didn't look like it was going to go the Karate Kid's way, of course we know we had to because the name of the movie was Karate Kid. He said to him, Danielson, use focus. Your best karate still inside. Now's time to let it out. People, stay focused. Stay focused. The best light still in you. Now's the time to let it out. Say, I'll arise and shine, because the light has come. Father, we thank you. We give you alone all the glory, all the honor, every bit of the praise. Thank you for reminding us of who we are and what we have and what we're supposed to do with it. Thank you for again letting us know we have to stick to the fundamentals. And everything else will fall in line. Thank you, Father, that by your Spirit, each day, each moment of every day, you'll keep revealing more and more truth and insights about the words we heard this morning, and you'll show us their practical applications. Because you told us to take our everyday life, our walking, going to work, you know, just living life, and place it before you as an offering. You'll show us how to let our light so shine. And once you show us, we will obey because we're good children. We're your children, and we want what you want. So I thank you, Lord, for the people coming out to hear the word and for you giving them a word that they can understand and put to use immediately. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And now, I'm a couple of minutes over, but that's not new. If there's anyone in here or out there that's never received Jesus Christ as Savior, this is your time. Because again, you cannot become the light if you don't receive the light. You have to first receive it. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So why don't you just say this with me? Father God, I believe that you're God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for the sins of mankind. I believe he was buried and went to hell, and after spending 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I've turned to you, and I'm asking you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friends, if you made that confession and you believed it according to the word of God, you just got born again. And all I want to do is get some free information to you. So if you're here in this assembly, please raise your hand, so that those we have assigned can see, and they'll take you to a place and give you that free information. If you're online, use the contact us information and said, I made that confession with Pastor Greg and I'm now born again, and we will send you the same information packet, free. It's not a way to get some more money from you or any money from you. And if you have any questions or comments about what we shared this morning, use the same contact information and write me. I will eventually respond to every one of you that writes. And I have to say eventually because it probably won't be the same day because of my schedule, but I promise you I will get back to you.